Soul Sister Radio.
Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and our show, The Advocate, with Susan Shengazar. Susan, take it away.
Thank you, Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to The Advocate. I am Susan Shengazar, standing strong against domestic violence, sexual abuse, especially of women and children. I won't quit fighting for you. I'm called to stand with God. Today, another amazing show, as I always promise and deliver here on Soul Sister Radio. But before we introduce our guest today, I wanted to bring to you a story that will just really warm your heart and give you something to hold on to. And I really believe that we have to expect God's blessing whenever we pray. And so I wanted to give you something to ponder on. And this story comes out of a book called Your Kingdom Come by Daniel Kalinda. And Daniel Kalinda is an evangelist who is with CFAN, Christ for All Nations, with Reinhard Bonnke. And they go all over the world, but especially in Africa. And the story is called Bring Your Umbrella. And it's close to my heart. I wrote a story called Umbrellas from Heaven in my second book called I'll Meet You at Winston and Wall Street Journals. This story called Bring Your Umbrella says, many years ago, in a region of the Midwest, had been stricken by drought. There was a small town there that was totally dependent upon farming, and the crops were dying in the fields because of lack of rain. A day of prayer and fasting was declared, in which the townspeople would come in from their surrounding farms and spend the day in prayer, asking God to send rain. That morning, a 5-year-old girl came along with her parents to the church to pray. Some people were amused as this little girl was carrying an umbrella. They asked her why. She replied that she thought they had come there that day to pray for rain, and she didn't want to get wet going home. Suddenly, conviction gripped their hearts. The people realized that they had come to pray, but no one but this little girl actually believed anything was going to change. In tears, they repented of their unbelief, and these same townspeople began to pray that day as though they really believed their prayers were going to change things. About 4 o'clock that afternoon, clouds began to form on the western sky. By evening, a slow, soaking rain had begun to fall across the region. The heavens had literally opened for these people. The slow rain lasted for 3 days and nights. Their crops were saved and eventually had one of the biggest harvests that they had ever seen. Everyone remembered that little girl with her umbrella who had come to pray had changed their hearts from a place of religious duty bound with unbelief to a place of expectancy that God would in fact hear and act. And some of you are expecting things and you're not doing the action. And some of you are waiting for things to just change. Today I'm bringing you a speaker that will change your life if you take the time to open your ears and have a heart to listen. This speaker today is internationally known as a trainer, a consultant. He was born in Israel, named after the biblical character from the Old Testament, the story of Ruth. His name is Boaz. His family immigrated to the United States when he was 9. Boaz, a former newscaster, newspaper publisher, television producer, and CEO. Now he's a professional speaker, conducting seminars, for groups of CEOs, companies such as American Airlines and Toyota. His website is boazpower.com. There you can sign up for his weekly newsletter. He has a YouTube channel, youtube.com/BoazPowerTV. Boaz will take us to the next level. Speaker of the Year for the world's largest organization of CEOs, with appearances on Lifetime's Television Balancing Act. I welcome to our show, Boaz.
Susan, thank you so much. I am honored to be on the program, and I think your work is just magnificent. And for everyone in the audience, if you haven't read one of Susan's books, please, I encourage you to do so. I've had the great privilege of reading her latest book, Journey to My Father's Palace, and I've got to tell you, it's riveting. Susan, I think you have something in your soul that is so unique, and I'm so glad that through this radio program and through everything else that you do, people have a chance to get close to you and to benefit from your warm heart. So if you haven't read any of Susan's books, please, I encourage you. She didn't ask me to tell you this. I'm just telling you because I ought to. You've got to read some of her work. It's magnificent. So I am truly honored to be on the program today, Susan.
Thank you so much. And since you brought that up, I just want to ask you, because your reaction to reading the first 100 pages of my book is different than some men's reactions. And I have to say, I've had a lot of men read my book, but particularly you said that it was something in the first few chapters that really touched you. Do you mind sharing that with us?
I'll be glad to. Before we get to that specific point, and I know which one you're talking about, Susan, maybe I can give a little background as to how we come to this point. And that is, my mother was from Poland, my father from Austria. They both left their native countries in 1935 to go to Palestine as pioneers to help build a new Jewish homeland. My mother eventually became a top accountant for the medical system in Israel. She worked with Golda Meir, future prime minister. Dad was a carpenter and a builder. He built some of the original block homes in the desert of Israel when he carried a shovel in one hand and a rifle in the other. And so I really follow both of my parents and their talents. They were both individually talented, but as I'll tell you in a moment, not necessarily meant to be with each other. Mother was very good with people and in business. My father was a very good carpenter and builder. So in addition to being a professional speaker, I'm also a carpenter and a builder. And so my mother, may she rest in peace, lost 4 brothers and sisters and her parents in the Holocaust. And yet she had the most positive attitude of anybody I've ever known. By the way, during an hour like this, you may want to take some notes, because Susan or I may say something that could really make a difference in your life, which is exactly what we want to do during this hour. We don't want you walking away saying, that was fun. You do that, we would have failed. Am I right, Susan? We don't want that.
Absolutely.
We want people walking away saying, that idea I can use. So if you're listening and you've got your pencil and paper, please write down, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. It's not a part of the thing. It's not a majority. It is everything. John D. Rockefeller, founder of the Family Fortune, said, I'd much rather hire somebody with a great attitude than somebody who's got more degrees than a thermometer and has no clue. So, remember, my mother lost 4 brothers and sisters and her parents in the Holocaust. I couldn't believe how she had the most positive attitude of anybody I've ever known. So I asked her one day, Susan, I asked my mother, I said, Mom, how can you have such a positive attitude? Because you have every right to hate everybody, including God. I mean, really, come on. 4 brothers and sisters and your parents lost just like that. Her answer was profound. Susan, she almost knocked me over with her answer. She said, son, if I don't have a good attitude, then they got me too, and they didn't shoot one bullet. Whoa.
So true. So true.
So I was born in Israel, lived on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, that's where I learned how to swim when I was 6. My brother was 5. My dad threw us into the water. And as soon as we got out of the gunny sacks, we did fine. I used to have more brothers and sisters. Some were not as strong. Listen, if you don't have a good sense of humor, you're never going to get over anything. So let's work on it. So some of you need to lighten up. I can just see you out there. And if you're having a good time, I wish some of you would inform your face. Anyway, so 2 of my uncles come to America. And the third one ends up in a concentration camp. Once again, Susan, that would be labeled a problem. So in 1941, my Uncle Ziggy in New York comes up with $500. I'm told that was a lot of money at that time. In bribe money, he pays it to somebody in Switzerland that buys my Uncle David's life out of a concentration camp. How does that work? And people in America get bent out of shape when I have an ingrown toenail. Did I tell you my toenail was hurting? Oh, please. So anyway, as a little boy in Israel, we get back to Susan's question and point. I remember as a little boy, we had a little two-room house. I didn't think we were poor. Outside, there were 50 different kinds of fruit trees. You want lunch? Go sit in the tangerine tree. That's how my mother could tell where my brother and I were. And by the way, as Susan said, my name comes from the Old Testament story of Ruth. There were 3 characters, Boaz, Naomi, and Ruth. So my parents named my older sister Naomi. I'm Boaz, and my brother was supposed to be Ruth. So some things just don't work out, which obviously leads some of you to figure out that made my parents ruthless. So as a little boy, I remember, unfortunately, my parents realizing they didn't belong together because they, out of nowhere, would suddenly have screaming fights. And I was petrified that my father would hurt my mother. Natural inclination, they're thinking the mother is weaker. And, I mean, they would throw things across the room. I just had to get in between them thinking he's going to kill her. And those moments when I remember as young as 3 or 4 years old, we were living out on the farm, and when they would start screaming, at first I would go in the other room. We used to have this old Singer sewing machine, and you know the type with the wheel underneath and the pedal, and I would sit underneath there. I was small enough to get in there, and I would turn that wheel and pretend that I could just fly away. And the terror, Susan, that those screams and those fights would cause in my mind as a little boy, those continued when we got to America, and there is nothing more frightening if you're a little boy than to be awakened from sound sleep with your parents screaming in the other room, and you are petrified the one is going to kill the other. And I would run in there and just plead for them to stop. And so in your book, you explained a paragraph that I knew you were talking about me, and it was actually about you. We both had the same experience. When you were a little girl and I was a little boy, and our parents would fight and scream and just literally terrorize us emotionally. So when I read that, I was just blown away. I thought, oh my gosh, can we relate to each other? And you had many other challenges, which I don't even know how you kept some of your secrets as a child. But that one is what got to me in the early part of your book.
And so, Boaz, how did that make you feel, being an adult and reading a woman's story, and with everything going on today and domestic violence, how does that make you feel with all the work you're doing as a speaker, I'm doing as a speaker, having the story out there? What does it do for someone else that's not as well healed as a person like you and I?
Well, but remember, when I was growing up, we were not well off. You know, it took many years and going to school and getting around other people who seemed to have a better attitude that I learned that life doesn't have to be that way. You know, life can be peaceful, and if we are in the middle of it and we can do something about it, we should. We should. And, you know, the best you and I can do, Susan, and for everybody else now, is share our story and make people realize, hey, we are all much more alike than we are different. People see me, like the other day in Seattle in front of several hundred people, big convention, and you know, I'm looking like a great speaker and all of that, but I'm very honest with my audiences. And I say, come on, I've gone through some of the same things some of you have gone through, and I share that in order for people to relate and say, okay, well, if Susan can get through it, if Boaz can get through it, I can get through it, but we have to ask for help. Susan, I once asked a relative of mine in America, I said, why aren't more Americans more successful? And my relative's answer was profound. He said, they won't ask for help. So we're here to encourage you. If you're in the midst of something like this, whether you're a child growing up or an adult, ask for help. And thank God there are very special angel-like people like Susan who are out there willing to help. So it makes me feel like we need to scream out loud and say, if you're in the midst of it, don't hide it. Go talk to somebody, whether it's a, you know, a priest, a clergyman, a rabbi, you know, anybody. Go talk to somebody and get some help. There is no need for us to sit there. Here's a point you may want to write down. For things to change, I've got to change. For things to change, I've got to change. If we sit around waiting for the universe to change, it could be forever. Don't you agree, Susan? It's up to us to go look for help, go cry out, go scream bloody murder, and tell somebody, this is going on. I need some help.
Exactly. And that was the point of my story with the little girl with the umbrella. She was expecting change. They said they were going to pray for rain. She brought an umbrella believing the rain would come. Some of us ask for help but aren't believing that the change will happen, which is why your message today is very powerful for those listening. And any of you listening want to call in and ask a question, I invite you to do that.
A key word, Susan, that I had to finally get in my soul is the word deserve. Deserve. Too many people, and the way they talk to themselves, and our minds are like the most powerful computer ever created. Man can never create a computer more powerful than what is in every one of your brains, every one of you listening here. You've got more power in your brain than any computer man could ever create. And just like computers, physical computers, however we program them is exactly how we're going to get results out. Computer people call it GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. So if I program garbage software into my computer on my desk, I'm going to get garbage results out. And unfortunately, for too many years, I was programming my mind with garbage. I don't deserve to live in peace. Why? Because I was used to the fact that we had a battlefield at home. So I never programmed my mind until one day, somebody said, Boaz, wait a minute, you deserve some peace in your life, which is exactly what Susan and I are saying to you right now. If you don't have it in your life, you deserve it. Where does it say that you don't? I don't see that anywhere. So what I teach in my seminars is the fact that we all talk to ourselves at the rate of about 1,500 words a minute. And the way we talk makes all the difference in the world, the way we program those thoughts. But the majority of people program their thinking with words that don't help them. I can never get away from this. It's a very strong statement, a very strong affirmation in the wrong direction. In the wrong direction. Susan, haven't you found that people are saying things? We hear it all the time. And they're usually saying statements that don't help them.
I agree. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and we either bless or we curse with words. And the Bible is full of scriptures that tell us that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. So it's like our minds, please everybody write this down. Words are previews of things to come. Words are previews of things to come. I teach ancient secrets. This comes from Confucius hundreds of years ago in China. He said, and it's exactly what Susan just said, take heed of the tongue. Take heed of the tongue. Be careful what you're saying, because words are previews of things to come. You know, we go to the movies, Susan. They show us previews. They're not just toying with us. Those movies are really coming. But people say things they don't want, and then they're shocked when they happen. I had a lady walk down the middle aisle of one of my big seminars. She's carrying a big cup of Coke. She sits down in the front row, places the cup of Coke on the carpet below her, and I can hear her whisper to the lady next to her, "Watch me spill this." 10 minutes later, they were mopping it up. What a shock. And another lady say, "You know, every spring we get the flu at my house. Oh, my gosh, I want to get my calendar. We'll want to schedule a visit. This will be special." So I ask a lot of people all over North America. I'll do 130-plus seminars this year in the U.S. and Canada. And I ask everybody the same question, Susan. I ask, how's business? Meaning, how's life? How's everything? And most people give me the real lowdown. Well, you know, it's not the same since 9/11. And my kids aren't behaving, and financially things aren't working out, and I'm not feeling so good. Is any of that what we really want? I don't think so. Everybody, please write down, if it's not what I want, if it's not what I want, I won't say it. If it's not what I want, I won't say it. And I won't get much better than that this hour. Susan has already alluded to it. I'm reemphasizing it. If it's not what I want, I won't say it. So, may I suggest one word when people ask you, how's everything, how's life, how's business, how's whatever, use this one word with enthusiasm. I guarantee everybody will think you're doing great and want to help you. And the word is unbelievable. Now tell me, won't that cover both ends of your spectrum, good or bad? But when you do it with enthusiasm, everybody will think you're doing great. And they'll give you the benefit of the doubt. And you know who that works the most on? You. Because you're thinking they have no clue. So let's start writing some positive affirmations that we want you to walk away from this hour. Let's start with that first one. We go back to the word deserve. And this is not to be shared with anyone, especially if you're in an abusive relationship. Then you write it down once, memorize it, and then tear it up and throw it away. And just say it to yourself in the bathroom, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. I deserve happiness, respect, kindness, and love. I deserve happiness, success, kindness, and love. And just declare that the first thing every morning when you first wake up and just before you fall asleep. Say it to yourself and watch what happens. Don't analyze it. Just say it. It's exactly what Susan was saying. When we put the right thoughts in, even if we're pretending, because Susan, the subconscious mind, cannot tell the difference between something real and something I'm pretending. It takes
absolutely
it as being
absolutely true.
An order. So when we start making those slight changes over time, it's amazing what happens.
Susan, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Did we lose our connection?
I'm not sure.
Just for a second, just like a lot of people lose their connection with their proper destiny by saying the wrong things.
Exactly.
And not asking for
we
help.
We didn't lose our connection.
No.
No.
We are connected. We are all connected.
We're good.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, absolutely. I need all the help I can get. Even as a successful speaker, I ask for help everywhere because I need it. And today, Susan and I, we need your help as a listener to pay attention and to let this hour truly be a turning point in your life in a better direction. You do deserve it. You do. Where does it say you don't?
Amen. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, Susan? Let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, for my radio days, it is time for a station break, I believe. It's near the bottom of the hour.
Yes, we are. Here we go. Thank you.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to The Advocate. I am Susan Shengazar. We are speaking with world-renowned speaker. His name is Boaz, and we're talking about words are previews of things to come, and if it's not what I say, it's what I say. Unbelievable. If someone's saying, how are you feeling, just say it. Unbelievable. Boaz says, we deserve happiness, respect, kindness, love, and to declare that when we wake and when we go to sleep. And I bring back to you, Boaz.
Susan, we want to give people very specific steps that they can take. You know, in all of my seminars, I'm very concerned that we not just give a bunch of philosophy and everybody goes out saying, boy, that was exciting. Oh, big deal. I would have failed. So if you're listening to us at the moment on your computer, then you can do this after the program. And if you have another computer or whatever, I would like for you at the end of the hour to go to my website because I've got some free things for you that you can benefit from immediately. So please write down the website, boazpower.com, B as in boy, O-A-Z as in zebra, power like the power company, P as in Paul, O-W-E-R. BoazPower.com. Two things for you. On the right-hand side, you can sign up for my free positive newsletter. Every Monday, it goes all over the world to thousands of people. Positive, uplifting stories. And if you have a story that's inspiring, which we trust you will after you listen to Susan and read her books, send it to me. Maybe I'll use it in my newsletter. It goes all over the world. So all you have to do is type in your first name and your email address. There is no obligation. I'm in my 11th year of writing this weekly column every Monday morning. Secondly, you'll notice near the bottom of the screen, on the opening screen, is something called the Tiberius Success Formula. Tiberius Success Formula, named after the city where I used to live on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And by the way, if you have not been to Israel, the Tourist Bureau doesn't pay me to tell you this, you got to go. It'll be a life-changing experience. But I know what some of you are saying. Wait a minute, Boaz, you're a speaker. You could probably afford to go there. Let me show you how you might be able to go free. Hello, let's be creative about this. If you belong to a church, why not ask the minister if you can organize a tour to Israel? Talk to a travel agency. All you need is about 15, 20 people to pay their way, and yours is free. Hello, did you hear? Free. I believe that costs nothing. So, anyway, back to my website. The Tiberius Success Formula. Click on that, and you'll get my daily success formula free. Once again, no charge. Six steps. Because I believe, Susan, that what we do the first 15 minutes of every day gauges our mood for the whole day. Did you ever notice that, Susan?
I totally agree. Absolutely.
And what does the average person do? Well, let's go back to the night before for the average person. The average person watches the late TV news before they go to sleep. Now, I used to be a newscaster. They didn't tell us to find positive stories. They told us to look for murder and mayhem. And that's what people are watching on the late TV news. They're watching violence. Have a nice night. So, my suggestion, don't watch the late TV news. That is programming your mind with things that are not helping you. Instead, do something nice like reading Susan's book. Then first thing in the morning, what does the average person do? Turn on radio or television news or read the paper. So let's say, Susan, and I read the paper in the morning, and I read about a famine in Africa. I'm not saying I shouldn't be compassionate, but excuse me, what can I do about it this morning? Later in the week, I could donate time or money. But this morning, what value is it for me to read it? And I come to work, and you're there, Susan, and everybody there is there, and I'm sluggish, and I'm depressed, and I don't know. I was fine when I woke up. I'm just not feeling very good. It's what I read in the paper. And now I'm coming and spreading that poison. I might as well hand out the Kool-Aid for everybody to drink. So instead, the formula on my website, free to you, the Tiberius Success Formula, 6 steps of how to get your attitude going right first thing every morning. So, Susan, here are the steps I'm going to give everybody, and anybody listening should be taking notes. You can also download the formula free, but I want to get it first in your mind as to how powerful this is. I've been teaching this for 25 years all over the world. The first step is positive affirmations. Like I gave you a while ago, I deserve to be happy, successful, loved, all those things. That's a positive affirmation. So the first step in my formula is to declare your positive affirmation. The first thing every morning, this is the only step you also do in the evening before you go to sleep. And by the way, this would be great to help a child to learn, especially if you're in the midst of a violent situation and you get away and you have children. We need to redirect their thinking. Otherwise, they're going to continue thinking forever that that's what family is, violence. So the first step is positive affirmations. The first thing every morning, the last thing every night. I don't want you to have a long list, only a few. That's all, just a few. The second step I call the 31-day charge, and this is not a buying spree. I suggest getting some upbeat music to listen to the first thing every morning. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie or the theater production Mamma Mia. Susan, have you ever heard the music of ABBA?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful? I cannot listen to that music and not feel better.
Actually, so it is some of my favorite music, Boaz. This is Maria. And I loved the movie Mamma Mia, and Greece is a place where I've done a lot of healing on my own journey. So, yes, I love ABBA. Continue.
Excellent. So there is no way from my research, Susan, that somebody can think really bad thoughts while they're listening to that music. I don't know anybody who could. Must be superhuman. There is no way to put two opposite thoughts in the brain at the same instant. So when you listen to that music, and by the way, I know some of you out there, you ladies are the dancing queens. I know you listen to that music and get up and move. I know. You don't even have to tell me. I can tell. I can feel it. And so put on some upbeat music while you're getting ready in the morning. I can hear the music right now. Can't you, Susan? Da, 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 da. Oh, my gosh. I'm with it. I'm not going to get out of my mind the rest of the day now. It's wonderful, isn't it?
I got my shoes on.
I know. You're the dancing queen. I can tell. Okay, so positive affirmations for a few seconds, first thing in the morning, then put on some of ABBA's music. And by the way, so you're saying, Boaz, I can't afford to go out and buy the CD. You don't have to. Go on YouTube. It's free. Just click in ABBA's music, Mamma Mia, and you've got it right there. All right? So listen to some positive music. So number one is affirmations. Number two is we call the 31-day charge, how to get you charged up first thing in the morning. Step number three is readings. So if you're taking notes, please write down, reading builds character. Reading builds character. As you see, Susan, from what I have found, when I'm reading, that's me talking to me. If I'm listening to a CD, like people can listen to some of my CDs, that's for motivation. That's somebody else talking to you. But when you're reading, you're putting in good words in your mind, but very specific reading, not just any reading. So I recommend two books. They're foundational, both written around 1935, and both still totally applicable today. These two books, Susan, are responsible for my success as a speaker, and they're both listed on my success formula that you'll download from my website. Number one, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Written in 1935, over 30 million copies sold. I got to think it wasn't just the author and family buying them. Somebody's been reading this. Basic concepts of the book. Smile. Start in a friendly way. Let the other person do a great deal of the talking. Be an active listener. What parts of this are not brilliant and most people miss it most of the time? The book is amazing. Simple stories, full of parables, stories. How to Win Friends and Influence People. To me, the best personal development, self-image, people skills book ever. Second book, Think and Grow Rich. Don't let the title misdirect you. It's much more an attitude book than it is about money. He teaches you how to focus your mind on what you want, rather than what we don't want. And isn't that what Susan was saying a while ago from the biblical phrases? So, here's what I suggest. And you can probably buy these at used bookstores. Oh my goodness, it's not a big deal. You can buy paperbacks for $7, $8 each. If you say, boys, I can't afford it, well, maybe you ought to sell something. Maybe you have something around the house you're not using. So, get the books. But don't read three chapters and put it down. It's best in a trickle charge. Just a page or two a day. A page or two a day in each book. When you get through, read them over again. Please write down, repetition is the mother of skill. When you repeat certain good things, they become a part of you. So read just a page or two a day. And if you get upset about something, pick up one of the books and read a page. It will shift your gears. So I decided if I'm going to promote those two books, reading them over and over and over, because the people who are reading those kinds of books are reading too many of them one time only and not internalizing anything. Reading a book once does nothing. But reading a book 10 times, it becomes a part of you. So how about just one page a day in each book? When you get through, read them over again. One page a day in each book. So we have step one, affirmations. Number two, the 31-day charge, the upbeat music. Number three, reading a page a day in each book. Number four, exercise and eating right. There's nothing that can help you reduce your stress more quickly than just going on taking a walk, jogging, doing something, some form of exercise. Just even 15 minutes a couple of times a week will get you going in the right direction. Eating healthy doesn't mean we have to deprive ourselves, but just making better choices. So, Susan, as you know, I've almost died three times in my life. I'm fine now, but when I tell people I'm glad to see them, frankly, I'm glad to see anybody. I'm alive. The first time at the age of 20, I fell asleep at the wheel of a big car in Missouri on Interstate 70, just as I loosened my seatbelt to get comfortable, and I went off a hill, and the car flipped end over end, the long way crashed. I flew out and broke my pelvic bone, ruptured my spleen. They weren't sure I was going to live, and 8 weeks later, I was back in college, good as new. Attitude is everything. Second time I almost died, at the age of 29, walked into a hospital emergency room in Oklahoma and went into cardiac arrest with a heartbeat at 400 beats a minute. They hit me with electricity at the right second, saved my life, discovered a rare heart condition, which was cured in open heart surgery in San Diego, 1991, the second day of operation, because the first day, my anesthesiologist accidentally cut my carotid artery, and I almost bled to death. Luckily, they sewed me up real quick, Susan, before I had a massive stroke. But I come from a culture in Israel where we are taught to be calm under fire. Most people there are not very religious, but we are very spiritual. And when I'm in a dangerous moment, I just relax and say a few prayers because there's a power higher than me helping me. And so the next day the operation was conducted a little more carefully because I asked them to. Please, it's only my life. So I've been in cardiac intensive care. I've seen people who were one day able to walk up a flight of stairs, have a massive heart attack, half their heart is blown out. The next day they can't even lift their foot up off the bed. And if you think I'm exaggerating, just try it. So please, a walk, 15 minutes twice a week. Start there. So once again, the affirmation, step one in the formula. Two was listening to upbeat music. Three, a page a day in each book. Number four, some form of exercise. And number five, step out of six called the fortune fund. Most people have a bad relationship with money. I used to. Susan, my idea of high finance years ago was to pay my Visa bill with my MasterCard. That'd be funny if it wasn't sad, but I've changed my life. I don't use credit cards anymore. Oh, it's not that I don't have one. I have one. I charge $10 a month and pay it off. That helps with my credit score. Not that I'm going to borrow money, but what if I wanted to invest in something good one day? And so most people need some plastic surgery in this country. Cut out the credit cards. That's not your money. It wasn't mine. I've been to a point where my credit cards were up to the max all over the place. I've been there. I've done it all, okay? Made all the mistakes. Now I pay in cash. I live a little below my means. I paid off my debts, and I started saving money. I think this program has potential. I stopped trying to impress anybody with what I had. What were we all trying to do? Impress everybody with our cars and houses? We're all going to the poorhouse trying to impress each other. So here's the key. Not only to stop charging, paying cash. What's wrong with saving for something? But carry a $100 bill. Whatever it takes, get a $100 bill. Have a garage sale. Get some money. Whatever it takes. It makes you feel prosperous. Susan, every time I look in my wallet and I see the $100 bill, it makes me feel prosperous. If all I see is 1s, 5s, and 10s, my mind says that's all I'm worth. And so most people don't feel worthy with money because they carry small money. And then I suggest putting some 20s around the house. If you're living in a safe place, on the end table by the bed, on the counter, the bathroom, on the counter, the kitchen, if you have teenagers, tape it down real good. Everybody, please write down, whatever I focus on expands. Would you agree with this one, Susan? Whatever I focus on expands.
I totally agree with that one, and that's a big problem for a lot of people. They can't focus on anything except what the enemy is doing, meaning the negatives, and they don't take their eyes off of it.
Well, let me tell you how I deal with that, because even though I teach this, I'm human. I get depressed. I get upset about things. But what I do, Susan, is I pretend like I'm two different people. And I talk to my negative side as if it's a different individual. And I say, now, just a minute. The way you're thinking is not helping us. I'm not going to focus on that. I am choosing to think positively. I'm choosing to think about what I can do rather than you using the word can't. And I talk to myself like I'm two different people, and I very quickly go do something that helps me. I pick up one of the books, How to Win Friends, Think You Grow Rich, or I pick up your book, Susan, and I get inspired by it, or I go take a walk, or I call somebody and encourage them. I get down. I just can't afford to stay there. So, number five step, the fortune fund, get a $100 bill. Whatever you focus on expands. Be careful what you're focusing on, and then start putting a dollar in an envelope every day. Even that small amount will get you going in the right direction. Because your mind will think, I'm richer today than I was yesterday, even if it's by a dollar. Your mind doesn't say how much. It just says, I'm moving forward. Step number six, the most important point of the formula. Action on your most important goal. Get a picture of your next goal, of your next reward. So if you're in an abusive situation, maybe you get a picture of a very safe place. Maybe it is another city. Maybe it's a friend's house, and hide that somewhere so nobody sees it if you're in a dangerous situation, but just look at it every day. I want your mind to focus on your next goal. Get a picture of it. Napoleon Hill said on page 37 of Think and Grow Rich, What do you want? Get a picture of it and look at it. First thing every morning and the last thing every night. Put it on a card. Get it laminated. Look at what you want. Now, what you might do is on the back side of that card, put your affirmations back to back. Your next goal, it might be your next reward. What are you going to do when you get away from that situation? Maybe go to a movie. Maybe go visit a friend in another city for the weekend. Whatever it is, get a picture. Put your affirmations on the other side. Put it back to back. Walk into FedEx office, and $1.33 later, you've got a laminated card, which is exactly the game plan for where you want to go. Most people have no game plan, and then they get shocked when the universe just throws something at them. Does that card make sense, Susan? I think it's huge.
It totally does. And, you know, Boaz, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's in Hebrews 11:1. And if you dissect it, faith is a substance, something tangible, of things hoped for, things we want and pray for. The evidence is the reality of it, not seen by the natural eye. So your title deed is exactly what you were talking about. Get a picture of something you want. Even if it's a new car, it may take you 10 years because you're going to take the action to get there by doing what you say about, you know, paying cash and saving money. And a lot of people don't believe things are going to happen because they don't change their circumstances. And so what you gave is some very good points. And even though they came out of Dale Carnegie's book or whoever's book, the law of believing equaling receiving doesn't change. It works for the believer and the unbeliever. If you're not a believer of the Bible, it still works because it's a law in the world.
Absolutely. So what is faith, really? Let's think about this for just a second. Isn't faith believing in something you cannot see? So, Susan,
yes.
Some people tell me, Boaz, well, if I can't see it, I can't believe in it. At which time I ask, what are you breathing? What are you breathing? Air. Well, do you see it? No. But you have the faith that it's going to be there for you 24 hours a day, don't you? But some people operate on fear. Some people give more power to fear than they give to anything which they really want. So what is the definition of fear? Here's the definition of fear. Fear knocked at the door, faith answered, and no one was there. Fear knocked at the door, faith answered, and no one was there. Much of what we fear never comes about. A way to overcome fear is to take one step in the right direction and watch how fear retreats. One step in the right direction. And listening to this program today, you've already taken one step in the right direction. Listening to Susan's program every week, a step in the right direction. Reading her book and realizing how much she came through. You think you got challenges? Read her book. I think it will just blow you away what she has come through. So the point is, if she can come through that, if other people can come through other things, we believe in you, that you can come through whatever you're going through at this moment. As long as you're alive and breathing, there is hope. There is hope. And all you have to do is take one step. When you get off the program, go to my website, sign up for my newsletter, another step. Download my daily success formula, another step. Get a copy of the two books, another step. Read your affirmations the first thing every morning and the last thing every night. Another step. If you're in the midst of a dangerous situation, call out to somebody, a friend, a community service somewhere. Go to the police. Go to your nearest fire station. Ask for help. I guarantee you'll be welcomed with open arms. Those are steps, Susan, that people can take today. And did you ever realize, Susan, there is no day of the week called someday.
So true. So true, Boaz. And I just really thank you for being on the show today and giving so much information. In Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." We are not short in this world on knowledge. It's everywhere. And with the internet, it's so attainable. Everybody's walking around with a cell phone, and we have knowledge at our fingertips. But the most important thing is what are we doing with it? And so you're giving people tools to utilize what's already been there for centuries, and we've let it go, and we keep looking for the next thing that's going to do it for us. And the simple thing is these old wives' tales or these things that you hear from our forefathers, they're proven, tried, and true. Some things never change. Some things take work and take time, like the seed you put in the ground. You have to bury it. You have to water it and tend to it, and it will grow. And so each one of us, I believe, has the ability to change, like you say, and grow. But we have to put something else in that place where the darkness was to bring it into the light. So I so thank you, and I encourage all of our listeners that came on to listen, and this show is always available in the archives to bring it back out. And as Boaz said, he has so many resources for you. And some of his YouTube videos, you can watch actual shows, and they're very informative. I enjoyed watching a few of them. I enjoyed meeting you, Boaz, and talking with you. And thank you so much for reading my book. And what a blessing to have you share your story with me. And also, you had talked to me about your passion for domestic violence, and you have a daughter that also was struggling. Did you want to share with few minutes what you have?
Yeah. And before I do that, let me get one other point very clear to our audience. A number of years ago, when I was at my lowest point, where things were just horrible, and when my kids were young, and I had no clue at one point where I was even going to get money for food for the next day, and somebody said something to me, Susan, which made all the difference in the world. A friend of mine said, "Listen, Boaz, you may not believe in you at the moment, but do you think I'm an intelligent person?" They were asking about themselves. I said, "Of course you are. Of course, you're a wonderful person." I said, "Then trust in my belief in you for a while. Just trust in my belief in you for a while. Don't worry about whether you believe in yourself right now." And oh my gosh, that was a moment like a light came on, and it took the weight off my back because that person believed in me. So it seemed like an intelligent person. I'm going to trust in their belief in me. So if you're going through a very low moment in your life right now, Susan and I are volunteering to say to you, we believe in you. Trust in our belief in you now until your belief comes out from behind the cobwebs. So I was living in Newport Beach about a year and a half ago, and my daughter was in a marriage of about 7 or 8 years with an abusive husband, emotionally abusive, sometimes physically so, also an alcoholic. And I knew that she needed to get away from him because she's a darling person. She is just wonderful, very outgoing, very positive. But she just didn't have that courage to make that break. And I realized that if I didn't make a bold move, nothing would change. Remember we said for things to change, I've got to change, but sometimes we have to have the help of somebody else. So I moved from Newport Beach to Woodland Hills, California, close to where my daughter was living, so that she could have a place to escape to. And she did. And now she's going through a divorce, and she is happier than she's been in many years, and the weight has been taken off her back, and she's no longer in that abusive, alcoholic situation that she did not deserve. So I literally moved myself to give her a place to escape to, and now she will help other people in turn in the future. So there's somebody out there who wants to help every one of you. If you're in that same situation, give them a chance, but they won't know it unless you talk about it. Go talk to somebody you trust and use the words, "I need your help. I need your help." It doesn't make you look any smaller when you do that. When you do it genuinely, it makes you look bigger. So Susan and I need your help. Pay attention to what we've been doing. Go get the free resources on my website and my YouTube channel. And let's take action.
Thank you so much, Boaz, for being on our show. You've been listening to Susan Shengazar with Boaz today. This is The Advocate, fighting for you against domestic violence and sexual abuse. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am The Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you back to Soul Sister Radio. And we are here, Woman on the Edge, with Becky Ryan. Becky, how are you?
Hello, Maria. How's everything going? What an intense show. You've been busy, busy.
It's been an intense week. You know, it just goes with the flow, and I'm telling you, it's been a really great time. But as you know, and even with what I'm seeing in the world, and I try to keep all of my news kept at a distance to where I only get it from you. So you tell me what's going on in the world and what is trending today on Women on the Edge. And, oh, first we have new listeners, I know. So why don't you introduce yourself, Becky Ryan? And also His Grace, Michael, told me to tell you hello, and I am sending him all the paperwork in today, hint, hint. And so...
Okay, good. We're going to be done. It'll be all done. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, introduce yourself and what this show is all about, and then what is trending right now.
Well, my name is Becky Ryan, and I have been online since the mid-90s. And today we're going to be talking about what's trending right now online and out in the world. And Women on the Edge is supposed to be on the edge of whatever, the technology, the edge of a cliff, hanging onto each other, holding each other back. Well, I have a humorous bone today, and there's not a lot of humor in the things I'm going to say. I had gone through, and some of the sad things is today is June 6th, and I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's D-Day. I had gone to work today, and I turned on the radio, and I was with another coworker, and I couldn't figure out who the guy's voice was, and she turned it off, and I was like, no, that sounds very important. We put it back on, and I'm going, oh, is that, you know, like a local news person? And she goes, no. And then she's about to turn it off again, and I go, I really feel we have to listen to this guy. It was Ronald Reagan. And I thought I had been impacted as a kid that anytime the president talked, we had to freeze. It took us 5 minutes before we found out it was Ronald Reagan. How sad is that?
Wow.
But,
okay. Yeah.
Go on, tell me.
He's the only president I voted for. I haven't voted since. I won't. I that's probably terrible, and I know you're going to kill me, but it's true.
it keeps more people liking you. I get into more debate.
A little crazy. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, you're also in California, which is a hot area. I'm trying to think how many, well, I don't even want to go into the electoral votes and everything else. Let's not go back. But we are talking about politics today.
Yeah, okay. It's funny I now live in a very Republican part of California, and California is pretty Democratic. We're pretty blue here.
In, let me see what year it was, 2007. Okay, yes. Oh, my goodness. Years are passing by. I remember when somebody brought up Obama, and we went to a place, and they said, oh, my goodness, he's going for president. And I remember thinking, wow, we're going to elect, and I didn't see him, we're going to elect a Muslim before a female or a black.
Okay.
So I went down to a meeting.
Did you know who he was back then? See, I'm not real political, so did you know who he was back then?
No, and I'm trying to think if it could have even been 2006, and we went to a dinner for him in Los Angeles, and he had a great speech, but I just remember thinking, Obama, well, that would really take a miracle, you know, but I didn't know. But I just thought it sounded very Middle Eastern, and I thought, you know, that would be really funny if African-Americans think it first, Hispanics think it first, females think it first. I was like, wow. So anyway, I remember we went to the dinner, and they only had videos, and I was very impressed. I thought, wow, he's like a Kennedy.
Okay, so
moving
you met
forward,
him.
Though,
okay,
we're going to go into
him,
Obama's
yeah.
administration.
Okay. But go ahead.
Well, I kind of wanted to go to something that, to me, I think is bad. It's good. It is trending, though. Texas, just today, acquitted a guy named Ezekiel Gilbert. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story, and then I'll tell you what the caption is. He was acquitted after he truly murdered a 23-year-old Craigslist escort because she had agreed to go over to his place on Christmas Eve of 2009. She was given the $150 and she left without having sex. He felt those actions were unjustified and he shot her dead. No, sorry, he shot her, she was paralyzed, she died 7 months later.
Okay.
He got off.
Why?
Now, Texas allows anyone to use deadly force to recover property during nighttime theft. And that's what he got off on. What?
Okay.
So there's some kind of a humor there, but there's a lady who's been shot. And
right.
There's a prostitution. Then there's somebody else hurt. And I'm going to this and I'm going, what? Texas allows people to use deadly force to recover property during a nighttime theft.
So what did she attempt to steal?
She was given the $150, and it was agreed that he would get sex.
Oh.
He was a Craigslist escort. So when she left with the money without doing anything.
He shot her, and that he got off. Wow, that's pretty intense.
Intense. Texas says it's okay to shoot an escort if she won't have sex with you. What? That's what's trending. That is the word.
That's trending. I mean, that's what's going on. That this is what people are talking about.
Yeah, and on Christmas Eve, I'm like going.
Oh, go ahead.
There's something very wrong with this guy. I mean, wrong. Wrong. But anyway, we're gonna keep moving. I'm guessing you don't know. Do you have Verizon?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Have you been told about what
NSA has been collecting.
Say that again?
It's been revealed. It's been revealed there's already hundreds, thousands of articles written up as we speak, because today senior government officials released proof that the government has been in deals and partnership with Verizon to collect all phone data of every single Verizon user. And
so
the numbers to the person.
Text messages?
It's basically the meta data. And if we – do you know what metadata is? It sounds kind of like a tricky word.
No, what's metadata?
Okay, metadata can be so many things. But in this particular case, you know, you're getting your phone bill and it has the phone number, the address, some simple information. Basically, when you called somebody, it tells the number you called, how long you called, who you had called. But it'll give more information, especially if it was Verizon to Verizon, they'd have the billing information.
Okay.
They would also, if you had your GPS on, know exactly where you called from.
Right.
Metadata is small, so they can't, at this point, we're not being told that they are recording the conversations. We are told that they have taken all of who you've talked to, all the text messages, where you have been, the GPS, what you already have on your Verizon. Now, the government is pretty dang big. I don't consider them to be probably as much data as Google would have, and data stored, because they have other areas that they have to go and save information, files from way back, you know. I'm just hoping, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe that the government is probably bigger than an eBay, an Amazon, or an Expedia, which means that every single day, billions and billions of calls are being done. So, like within, what, a year? I have no idea. That's nothing to them. Right now, metadata in for the computer systems we have right now, that's nothing. It's almost like having a couple emails. Your phone can handle it. And they're saying that it's all put into a certain area, all information from every Verizon person. And what's scary to me, the computer people, to anybody for security, for people that feel that our administration is stepping over every single one of our bounds, they have the ability right now to tell me who the other Verizon people are around you. They have an idea if you're in an apartment complex who's beneath you, who's talking, and they can tell all that data within seconds. They can track you hour by hour, minute by minute, that's already gathered.
Well, don't you think they've been doing this since we started getting our groceries all tracked and what people eat and with those Vaughn cards? And they've been doing this for a long time. What do they want? What are they looking for? What is their benefit of getting all
back,
this information?
Go back to Vaughn's. So we go into Vaughn's and we buy. We use certain credit cards. They give us cute coupons. We get points at the end, and we're happy about it. They have an idea of how long we've taken from the last purchase of gas to finally going to the store. They'd have to get a search warrant through Vaughn's to get your data. They're not just handing it over. Verizon is.
Why?
AT&T isn't, T-Mobile isn't, but get this, T-Mobile's not going to be happy that Verizon's giving it because I'm on T-Mobile. Jeff, my husband, is on AT&T, and anytime that you've talked to the two of us, they just found out what our network is, and what they're doing is they're taking this data, and they're saying that they're taking this data to see if there's any possible terrorist activities, but they're collecting everything. And the biggest outrage, for the most part, is the only reason you're being investigated and your information is with the government is because you have a phone. and what is going to happen in the future with that data. Could you say something on your taxes, like for tax cheats? Some of those people are worried about that. They said, great, I'm going to say that I went to the Bahamas for a certain convention, and they're going to find out that the convention wasn't going on or I was making a whole bunch of calls. Okay, that could be. But more importantly, what they're looking at is like maybe a Boston Marathon. Every single person that was surrounding the Boston Marathon, they'd be investigated instantly, quickly, and the government can go right in and see if there's any peaks and lulls. But what's even more is they already have filters like Facebook. They already can go in and look at the data and see who every one of your friends is. They can already predict when you tend to talk and when you don't. There can be alerts put in there, whether you know it or not, but say you don't tend to talk to people from 11 p.m. to 6 in the morning, almost never. The moment you make a call in between that, an alert will go up. They will also know that if anybody you've ever talked to, like on Facebook, ends up coming up for questioning, you yourself will be questioned for association.
Okay, so we're totally like in the Truman Show now.
We're beyond the wall.
It is totally beyond the Truman Show.
Well, if the walls could talk, they could only handle this room.
Oh,
right,
we have
now
we're
talking about the entire.
Okay. We have a question. Does this apply to VIOPs such as Skype, Text Plus, or I don't know what VOIPs are?
They're talking about online Skype. No, it's supposed to be only Verizon. Here's
okay.
The problem. Verizon is huge. So
right.
The moment, Maria,
well,
you've called me.
Let me tell you how huge Verizon is. Do you know who owns Verizon?
No, I do not.
Vodafone. Do you know who Vodafone is?
Europe.
You better go look at what Vodafone is, because that you're talking huge. You're talking on a level that's huge.
I was Vodafone in Spain.
But I was Vodafone. I am Vodafone in Greece.
Oh, that, okay.
Okay.
It sounds so nice.
Yeah, I'm Verizon here, and I'm Vodafone in Greece. And Vodafone owns Verizon. So we're talking huge, huge thing you're talking about here. Because Verizon isn't just doing it. It's Vodafone.
And all of the other subs. So it's supposed to only be. Now, granted, this was only released today, and they're saying that they're not listening to the conversations.
Okay.
However, if you've ever used, go on. Did you say something, Maria?
No, go ahead.
So if you've ever used Google Voice, which I use.
Right.
Almost
so
exclusively. You can see that every single one of our voice messages gets translated in its text.
Right.
Every one of your emails that's coming through your phone is metadata.
Okay.
If you have your GPS turned on or your maps.
I don't.
If you do, though, you're being tracked minute by minute.
Yeah, that's
and this is very small data for the computers that they're going into. Will or how long will it take for them to record the information, all your images? It's going to be beyond a Facebook. But right now, they have the technology to filter it, to find out who your networks are. They have the ability to filter who's in the restaurant by you. They have the ability to say, no, you were with somebody. It's almost like having a police officer.
Right.
Your
yes, I know. I'm married to cops for 20 years of my life. Okay, so yes, I get this. Is this Google, too? Are they doing this with all the Hangouts and all the... All that we're doing on Google as well as Facebook?
As far as I am told, Yahoo and AOL have given some information to governments. Yahoo, in particular, many years ago, which caused Yahoo's fall. And back in like 2002, Google jumped because Yahoo, it was proven, gave information to China telling them who was talking about them and getting on the internet.
Oh, shit.
China killed them.
Whoops.
Murdered them. And then they murdered some American geologists. I forgot what they did. I know what they were doing. They would go onto ships, and they were monitoring the ocean floor for the possibility of oil. And that's all his job was. He flew on out, and he was written up for talking about China and killed.
Wow.
So when that hit, Europe knew about this and basically boycotted Yahoo and was still going after Microsoft. Now, Microsoft was more because they would only go English. They would only take the English websites and everything else. And as we know, Europe does not just speak English, too much of our surprise.
You know, I have to stop you real quick because one of the reasons why we went from being under a nonprofit umbrella to a for-profit entity is so we could have the freedom to be able to talk and say whatever we want on the radio. And because I didn't sign my life over by signing those 501c3 nonprofit paperwork, and by being a for-profit entity, it gives us the right to be able to say anything. And so I just wanted to throw that out, because if we were a nonprofit outreach, we wouldn't be able to talk and say these things right now. I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you for freedom.
Thank you for freedom. Yeah, amen, hallelujah.
Wow. And one, I didn't know that, but that almost punched me in the stomach.
Yeah,
I know it wasn't
so
a physical one, but...
Yeah, you know, it's amazing when I named the organization FOR, and I really wanted it to be nonprofit, I kept hearing God say, it's for a reason.
And as we're moving forward, I mean, like, what will the biggest thing that was it's every news site. We have a global awareness. This isn't just trending in my location. It isn't just a U.S. thing. This is trending all over, all languages. It's everywhere right now. And the biggest thing is, how extensive is this data truly? And
what?
How extensive is this data? And how long are they planning to keep this data for? In past things, there was people mentioning the government won't keep it past 7 years. Who said that? I don't know. I mean, like, you know, and people are saying, no, the government can't keep things after 7 years. Then another person said, well, if they keep this, you know, murder charges, find out who's around there, they'll be able to see the networks. Let's go back to the network, kind of like a Facebook, who they deem to be in your friendship. And when that network even goes off, they could cluster us and go, oh, these people tend to be the influencers. The last one, to me, kind of scared me the most. Okay, one, there's three parts to it, and then the third part has a couple parts. And the couple parts I can't wait to hear your opinion on. Future laws will change. Does that mean that the government can get more? Future laws could be that anybody that's in certain areas, it would be real easy to turn people on and off. Administration will change. What will that mean, and who will be able to see and parse this data? And who's parsing it right now? Lastly, in the future, how long can the feds continue to probe our life? For how long? And will that be okay with you? And part of this is, what happens if the feds have something or the government has information on influential people, celebrities, financial powerhouses, and based on the data of keeping it for so many years, there might be information they never want out. And could that sway some of our influential people to voting for an administration that we wouldn't want?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the deep, dark secrets, your phone, and how for the past 2 years, mobile phones, your iPad, cellular devices that you go over to Verizon to get internet access are all deemed mobile. And people are using them more and more. A couple of years ago, it was only like 3% of the sales. Last Christmas, I think we were pushing 60. Some people had predicted that we would double, which would have only been 40. We went to 60.
Wow.
We're going to have probably 70% of a lot of the sites having people at the sales that are going to go through, either their phone, their iPad, and as our more influential, financial, and educated people are online, they tend to have an iPad. It's easy. They take it wherever they're going. They quickly go through their files. They're going to be going through their home computer. They're going to be going, they're connecting their phones, their voice messages, and everything else.
Right.
The government's going to know more about you than you do. They're going to have predictive. They're going to know that you're going to want a coffee because of the pattern that we don't even see yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does it make you feel, especially if it could influence somebody into maybe donating more money, a celebrity showing up to make sure that something from their past doesn't show up? All of us have something we don't want out there.
Well, it's funny because I guess that's the point. And I guess that's what God's been kind of, you know, there's so many of us that live in this constant state of fear, but when you get to a place where you have nothing to prove, you don't worry about those things. But I don't understand, what I'm confused about is who is directing this Truman Show? Okay, who is in
charge? We don't know yet.
Yeah,
as far as I know, we don't know.
Because this is just, I mean, the little bit that I'm hearing and what you're sharing and everything that's happening in reality with the IRS and you know, God bless this president, because truly it doesn't matter any if you like him or don't like him, or he's our president and we're in some
we're
trouble.
We're supposed to be praying for him.
Okay, we're in some trouble, man, okay? So we better be praying for our leaders, every single last one of them. And why do they feel the need to have such control? And if we do not wake up and see that this has happened before in history, hello, people, okay? And we're coming upon it again. It's incredible. And then the other thing too is with all this being reality and them tracing and tracking everything we're doing, I wake up thinking, what country am I living in? Because it's definitely not the country that I was born into. And that's what I think is really, really crazy. And we've got 2 minutes left.
Well, I do want to say that the government has told us they won't gather without suspicion, and they will get an additional FISA court order, and I might be saying it wrong, FISA court order, and at the end of the day, they already have it. It says they have it. So I'm going, okay, well, thank you for not looking and setting up all the alerts and everything else. Somebody has it. And I do want to say I thank God for the country we're in, and the ability for us to find out what is going on. If there is somebody out there that feels that maybe this is kind of silly right now, only the guilty will be charged. Again, you're only guilty right now, and all your information is going out there because you picked up the phone. Mm-hmm. And I want us to be thinking about that in our reputations. Thank God we have nothing holding back right now. And please, go use your Skype. I think maybe that's wiser.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to come up with another one. We'll set it out of Greece.
Which I feel I'm getting ready to go really, really soon, and I'll let you know if that's going to happen. We've got 30 seconds, so close out. Tell our audience where we can find you.
You can find me on Facebook, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. And please, if you have any other information about this, post it on the page. We're getting ready next week to be doing the websites. if you have some websites that you'd like to find out new ways of taking it to the next level, maybe making more money, starting the call to action, building that awareness, please send it. Frank is eager to get a site audit, and we're happy about sharing that. And thank you, listeners, and many, many blessings to Marie and our government, police officers, our military. God bless each and every one of them to lead towards Christ in every way, shape, and form. We are soldiers here on earth for the future heaven.
Amen. We'll see you next week on Sister Thursday. See you next week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.